What's up, what's up, what's up, y'all? Welcome back to the Pursuing Purpose podcast. Oh, so good to be back behind the mic and in front of y'all. And if you're listening to this, I love you. I appreciate you. I celebrate you for going inward, man. Going deep within that soul, within those questions, within that heart, and just being open-minded and open-hearted to learning and expanding and growing. If you're listening to this, I salute you, I celebrate you, and I see you. I know deep down you, you're truly doing the hard work. And so I wanted to make this episode a little bit of a monologue for about 20 to maybe 30 minutes about dating and relationships on purpose. This has been a crazy, huge theme and topic in the work that I've been doing for a long time, and with just helping people heal and realize, you know, why they run into similar patterns of dating similar types of people, running into similar self-worth and self-love issues of trying to be like, all right, why do I keep magnetizing the same kind of guy or the same kind of situation, and where is this silver lining around my journey of healing? And then finding an equally sovereign and confident, loving human partner, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife. I've been there many times before in the dating pool, and learning how to ebb and flow and learn the balances of just learning more about myself, my self-love, my triggers, my wounds, my insecurities, my fears, and have been not only working on it for myself and ended up obtaining the most incredible wife of all time, but also helping thousands of people work on their relationships, romantic and with themselves. And so I was really excited for this episode and for hanging out with you for a little bit and talk all the talks of love, dating, and romance, and all the things. Yeah, well, let's just get started. I've been there. I've jumped into the dating pool and had my heart broken multiple times. I would say two big times, but I would say the most recent one, I was probably 27, was dating this girl named Taylor. If you've been around my journey long enough, you would remember. We had a very, I guess, public relationship with, like, you know, dating and traveling the world. And we had a Yes Theory video that had like 50 million views where I prank her around Los Angeles with good pranks. Like, I like surprised her with all these gifts around LA for a day. And it got like 50 million views. It was pretty crazy. Anyway, so that was a very public reflection of a relationship. So you can imagine the breakup obviously was hard because the love part, but then also hard because there was a lot of opinions and entities involved. Until this day, it's actually comical. If I go to one of the YouTube videos, that one that I pranked her of good things, like, people still comment like crazy stuff. Like, yeah, oh man, it was funny. But yeah, being in the public eye is a lot harder. Obviously, there's a lot more moving pieces. But anyway, went through that incredibly just really a difficult heartbreak, and it broke me down in so many ways. And I had a moment in my life of growth and expansion and pain and just the depths of hurting, of, you know what it is when you have your heart broken by a romantic partner. A lot of your insecurities are flared up, and your biggest flaws of like, oh my God, they're just going to find someone better than me, or there's so many people out there better than me, and I'm never going to find love because this hurts so deep. And you literally just look at mostly all of, you know, what went wrong and why it went wrong. And for me, that was the last time I went through a really hard breakup. I was 27, 28 maybe. And I really had to decide if I was going to choose my purpose and my path of where I felt my, my life was leading, and, or this person. And I think we've all heard that term, twin flame. Have you ever heard of the term twin flame or soulmate? I personally believe you meet your twin flame before you meet your soulmate. Your twin flame is the exciting, stimulating, every box is checked kind of person where you're like, oh my God, this is my person 100%. I don't even need any time. I date you week one, I'm going to date you and marry you month one, because they check all the things on our list. Like, it's such a, our twin flame is just a mirror for us. And at the beginning, it's a good mirror where we're like, oh my God, this literally checks every single thing on my box of my list of what I want a person. Lo and behold, your twin flame is actually there to trigger your mirror so that you can evolve past this list and evolve into your soulmate, into healing, and into the depths of pain. Losing your twin flame is extremely painful because you thought your expectation was you've had this list since you were maybe a little girl or a little boy, and you saw the Disney movies and you saw the movies and the songs. You remember hearing that song, like when we're in like elementary school, it's like, girl, you're my angel. You're my darling angel. Shaggy. Anyway, so I remember listening to that song, and then you get these ideas of from all these movies and influence. You're like, oh my God, this is love. This is my person. They check everything on the box. They check everything on the list. Lo and behold, you realize that the list was made out of fear. The list was made out of scarcity. The list was made out of opinions and ideas of the world, of the movies you watch, the music you watch, the shows and everything in between. You made this list of like, okay, this person's going to complete me because I feel incomplete. And so you made an unhealthy list of pain and trauma, whether it was the first girl when you were in third grade that broke your heart, the first crush you ever had on, the first boyfriend or girlfriend you ever had. A lot of the list we make of our ideal dream person is written and created from a broken place. It is created from a, I need this to complete me. And once I get this, I'll have it all. Like, oh my God, once I have this person that has all these traits and all these characteristics, my life is complete. I can start making babies and travel the world with them. And I wish it was that easy. It is not. It is opposite of that. The person your soulmate is has very little to do, almost nothing with that list, which is triggering and confusing for some people, I'm sure, because it's like, no, I made this list. I was really mindful. I was really intentional. They have to like be like this. And there's non-negotiables. They have to be this. They have to check this box. And that is the reason you're struggling dating. It is because you are looking for love. You are looking for someone. You are looking for a criteria for someone to meet. And if they don't meet that criteria, for whatever it is, it could be values, morals, characteristics, anything, you immediately write them off. And so energetically, you are already receiving negative blocks. And the more you focus on what you don't want, the more it comes, right? The more you focus on the box checking, the more you lose sight of someone's soul, of their experience with them, of the opportunity to fall in love with them in a way that you didn't know was possible. We think a lot of romance is intimacy and erotic intimacy, where it's like, they, first and foremost, they gotta be attractive, right? And of course, that's like somewhat of a mix. I totally understand that. But you'll be surprised as you get older. You will be surprised. I think we've all seen people in relationships where, I'm just going to say it and, you know, just say it how it is, but there's a lot of times where there's like a certain kind of woman that is with a guy where most people are like, damn, that guy is really lucky because that girl is, you know, looking like this and that guy looks kind of like this. That is because in the depth of your authentic truth and intimacy, it looks go down the list pretty quick. Not to say that they're not important, but you will realize you will always be humbled by the lover you magnetize, and you will always magnetize, at the end of the day, what you believe about yourself. But also, you just have to learn how to get rid of the list. You have to learn how to become the list. Like, you really have to learn how to embody these characteristics and these traits. A lot of people are like, all right, once I start dating, then I'm going to quit pornography or quit smoking or quit drinking or quit watching sports or quit video games. And sadly, that's not how it works. You have to start showing up for yourself, going to the gym, eating healthy, journaling, meditating, practicing yoga, going into nature. You have to really start to just work on yourself in a way where you're not doing it to attract the person. You're not doing it for an outcome of like, okay, I'm going to work on myself, but I swear to God, in 2 years, if I don't have my guy, I'm going to go freaking do something else. I know it's frustrating. I know it's lonely and confusing. And there's so many things involved when it comes to romance, because there's our emotions, there's our feelings, there's our thoughts, there's the timing is a bitch. Like, I think a lot of us can be like, damn, that person would have been perfect if the timing was different. I've heard that story a million times and I believe in it. But the problem with relationships, the number one is we rush it. We get so excited because the twin flame vibe, we think we found our soulmate. They check all the things. We feel safe around them. We feel excited around them. They're very stimulating, releasing all the dopamine and oxytocins and all the chemicals, and we rush it. And 99% of relationships fail, mostly because it's rushed. There is not patience involved. We are a very instant gratification culture and society, And we rush things quick, especially romantic love, because we truly think it is the missing piece to our self-love and our brokenness. And I think I could speak for myself and most, a lot of you people as well. I'm pretty sure you've been in a relationship with someone where they tell you a million times how much they love you, and yet you still struggle with jealousy. You still struggle with insecurity. You have to go up to them like, hey, wait, do you love me? You still have to ask them all the time because you don't love yourself. And any relationship you get into where you haven't found full sovereign self-respect and self-love, no matter how perfect, no matter if you marry them, like a lot of people struggle with the trauma of thinking marriage is going to solve their jealousy and their insecurity and their fears. And it usually magnifies and amplifies it. But a lot of people go, okay, if I just get a ring on this guy, there's no way he's cheating on me. And we know that is never worked, rushing anything. And so just really being patient with yourself, with your healing, and just knowing that as you are becoming the most aligned, healed, authentic, true version of yourself, you will upgrade and elevate the type of guy you attract. You will continue to attract the low-hanging fruit, the guys that you're like, okay, I could see myself getting a white picket fence. It's like the girls that are like, okay, this girl has some flaws here. This guy has a lot of potential. Don't ever date potential. Potential is one of the scariest, worst poisons you can get caught in when it comes to dating. So many girls I work with, oh my God, he has so much potential. If he just quit this, and if he just did this, and if he just acted this way. And guys say the same thing about girls. We try to date potential, but what I've always said to everyone is dating potential is like watering a garden where there's no seeds. And if you're showing up and you're dating them and they're still addicted to pornography, video games, alcohol, gambling, whatever it is, they're not going to change because they got you and they have you in the bag. And so they're just like, okay, I could pretend I'm quitting video games and drinking and whatever it is. I can pretend to be Christian. I can pretend to be spiritual. I could put on a mask for 6 months and get this person to think I'm this way. That's why time is undefeated. And we always, always, always think we can beat time. And time is undefeated. Anytime you rush into a romantic relationship, you will get burned by the fire. That is time. Because people can portray a certain way and have a certain potential for so long. And I've seen 5 years of a girl being like, oh, he's got potential, man. 5 years, 6 years of just dating potential, hoping that the crack's going to, you know, open. And what I've noticed in men is a lot of men's healing journey. I don't want to say numbers, but I would be bold enough to say 80 to maybe 90% of men start their healing journey once they go through a heartbreak. I would say men lose a woman that they knew was incredible and amazing and loving and nourishing and nurturing and kind and compassionate, and they didn't evolve. They didn't go from being a boy to a man. They stayed being a boy. They stayed being small. They stayed playing small, being insecure, being jealous. And the girl, the woman one day goes, hey, I can't do this. And the man fights and screams and yells, and then he goes into the depths of his heart and his soul, and he begins his journey of healing. And I would say 80% of the men I work with, that is one of the biggest factors, playing a role in men's journeys healing. And so one of the greatest things a woman can do is leave a man that has potential, is leave a guy that isn't stepping up, is being patient with a guy, be patient with yourself. And it's messy. I know it's messy with relationships, and that's why you got to be really careful on who you take advice from. You got to be really careful on asking for advice, and you got to be mindful of asking for advice. The one thing I've noticed in dating is when you start dating someone that is a twin flame and they're like so dope and they're so exciting and so stimulating, what we do is we isolate from our friends or family. We become a little bit distanced from them because we know deep down subconsciously we should be patient and we should take our time. And so sometimes we don't seek advice and don't seek help and we don't ask our friends for their opinion. And that is where the struggle becomes real, where we don't go to our friends and go, hey girls, hey guys, listen, I'm seeing this person, this isn't this, what do you think? and just hear their heart and their opinion. I think it's almost like a board of directors. We truly get blinded by love in our culture and society today. And we need a board of directors. We need a group of people that we can take our emotions, our thoughts, and our feelings to and go, hey, I'm dating this guy, I'm dating this girl, and this is what I'm feeling, this is what I'm thinking, this is what I'm doing, and I would love some feedback. And it's going to be so uncomfortable maybe to get the feedback because it's not going to be what you want to hear. It's not going to be what you want to do. And you're going to get the feedback from your friends or your family or people you trust, your coach, your mentor, your therapist, and you're going to have to just listen because love is blind. I think that's a show and probably a song too, but we get really blinded by the idea of falling in love and finding our person. And so we get really distracted and we can't see in front of our face. And I have helped hundreds and hundreds of hundreds of people on the other side of that story. I've given my advice and wisdom to people. Some have taken it and some haven't. I feel like anyone who's ever taken it has thanked me later, and everyone who ever hasn't taken that advice has responded to me later on and going, damn, I should have listened to you. Like, I should have really listened to you and been patient and waited. And now I'm in a really messy breakup and it's really ugly and dangerous and toxic, and I got ahead of myself. And so be patient and really move swiftly with who you are and what you are. And it is not the end goal to be in a relationship. It is not the end goal to be a husband or a wife or be in partnership. That is far from the goal. And the more you make that, I know the movies and the TV shows and the songs we listen to, that is the goal. But the more you make that the goal, the further away from your truth and your purpose you get. A lot of people think that their partner is going to end their suffering. Like, they're just like, okay, I can't find the self-love. I can't find the self-respect to quit drinking or alcohol or go to the gym or quit pornography or video games or whatever it is. I can't find the self-love in here. So I got to go find someone that's going to love me for me. And then I'll quit the addictive things that I'm addicted to. I'll quit the unhealthy habits. I'll quit this. I'll quit this. And that's not how it works. It never works that way. We have to really go inward and be solo and single and sober and sovereign in who we are, knowing that any relationship at any time can leave us, and that is okay, and we're going to be fine, and being fully, fully dependent on knowing that we're going to be good on our own. And most people are looking for the secret pill of romance. They're just like, oh God, if I can just find my person, I can become confident. I could step into my power. I can create my business or my podcast or start my company or change the world. I just got to find my person. That's all I need to find is my person. And that is not how it works. And that is why more than 50% of people get divorced and 30% of people that are still married or unhappily married. And then there's a small 10% of people that have, or 5% of people that are like fully excited about their marriage because they've found something bigger than themselves. And it's not their kids. It's their purpose. It's their passion. It's their gift to the world. Your partner is only going to compliment you in that. Your partner is going to help you be a mirror for the things that you need to learn and grow and heal and evolve so that you can become the most sovereign, incredible, authentic lover. Your goal is to reach this Jesus-like enlightenment of being radically loving to people. And the hardest thing you will ever do if you decide to do this in your life is raise a kid. It's the hardest task in the entire world because there is no book or formula to it. It is messy and ugly and beautiful, but it reveals all of everything that you are in the most messy ways. And the reason it's so important to find a partner that is incredibly matched and paired with you is because if you decide to procreate with this partner and raise a child, you will need both parties to be so aligned in who they are and their healing, because it gets messy. It gets really messy. And so, yeah, I hope some of this is landing and making sense and connecting. You know, I heard a quote the other day. Actually, it was a long time ago, but I was reminded the other day is you marry the person you see yourself forgiving the rest of your life. And I thought that was really cute and funny of like, you marry the person you see yourself, you could see yourself forgiving the rest of your life. And the reason that is because we are human. We make mistakes. We lose our tempers. We are a work in progress, and we are crazy and weird and different. and you will have to learn the most radical transformation of forgiveness and the power of forgiveness in the most healing ways. Your partner will be a mirror to you, and in a good way, in a bad way. But it'll bring to the surface everything you've ever tried to bury down. And you have to submit to that energy. If you're a man and you want to elevate to the, if you're a boy and you want to elevate to the most honor, humble warrior of a man, you have to submit to the woman, and you really have to learn to, it's kind of hard to explain, but to submit in a way where you soften to her. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, is divine match. Cause I know there's a lot of people like alphas and betas, like, oh yeah, alpha man, you got to lead your woman. You got to lead your woman. You got to tell your woman where we're going to eat and all this shit, which is true. After you submit, after you show her your ugliness and be vulnerable, you show her your weakness, you show her your addictions and your traumas and everything, but you show her all of the ugly things about you. So to become a divine masculine, you need to submit to the divine feminine. And after you submit to her and you go through that portal that she brings you through, you elevate to the divine masculine. You go from a boy to the divine masculine, and then she submits to your leadership in a way that she feels so safe and secure, and she feels like she's nourished and guided in a way that she knows you submitted, and so therefore she can submit. And it takes both parties to submit. And what I mean by that is just to surrender. To surrender, to try to be, I'm the man, I got to be the provider, I'm the man, I got to be the leader, I got to be this. You also got to learn how to be soft. The men have to learn how to soften their hearts when it comes to the feminine. We have to learn how to be the feet washer of our woman. We have to wash our woman's feet. We live in a society that is so unbalanced through the masculine, where we think the woman has to cook for us. And there's still people who believe that. I'm not saying that like this is the 1950s. There's the whole alpha beta men debate. And it's literally like women cook because men fix cars. And it's this crazy, unhealthy masculine unbalance by what we think is masculine. But in reality, that's just doesn't work. We need to learn how to wash the woman's feet, like wash your partner's feet. And it seems weak from the outside. On the cultural, the world, the outside will be like, damn, that dude is washing his woman's feet. Like, man, he must really be a freaking tail between his legs. Mm-mm. If you want your woman to be the most intimate, beautiful, relentless, sexual, like desirable creature you can possibly imagine, you first have to bow down to that submission of like, it's a surrender. It'd be like, all right, babe, I'm gonna come to this level and meet you there. And then she will bring you to the highest of highs, most radical level of being a man you could possibly ever fathom. No shame, no judgment, no guilt, no bitterness. Like, you are the full expression of your manhood. And it takes both parties. And so I love you guys. I appreciate you. We're about 23 minutes if you're listening to this. I hope some of this landed. I really wanted to make a relationship dating on purpose. I know I didn't really touch too much on the ins and outs of how we heal and call on our partner, but I really wanted to just give like a quick 20-minute synopsis on this theories around working with thousands of people and myself on how I called in my queen. My soulmate, you know, not my twin flame. I've been through the twin flame portals before. Those get dangerous and those burn. But I want to know your guys' questions. Shoot me a question and I'm going to do more of these episodes. And I would love to just continue to dive in on dating on purpose, relationships on purpose. I think in a couple of days, I'm going to do a podcast like this, sex on purpose and the importance of sex. We live in a culture and a society where sex is suppressed and it is shamed and it is buried down. Yet the second leading cause of all divorce after money is sex. So why do we suppress that conversation, that emotion, that feeling? Sex is incredible and amazing. And yet we've lived in a world that has stigmatized it and shamed it and buried it down. And we've seen the repercussions of what that's done. In a couple of days. So send me a message about what questions you have about sex, relationships, dating, and I'm going to continue to do more of these episodes, these little 20-minute monologues. And I love you guys. I appreciate you and talk soon. Thank you all. Peace.